Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We've all seen the headlines about hookup culture and young adults, but a new report from Harvard suggests that we overestimate the size of today's hookup culture. Turns out that perhaps 85% of young people said they prefer just hanging out with friends or being in a serious relationship. They prefer those things to hooking up. That's according to the report The Talk, How Adults Can Promote Young People's Healthy Relationships and Prevent Misogyny and Sexual Harassment. It's based on interviews with 2,000 18 to 25-year-olds from across the country. Joining us now with more is Richard Weisbord. He's the lead author of the report. He's a psychologist and lecturer at Harvard's Graduate School of Education. And he's with us in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Great to be here.
So tell us, first of all, when we say hooking up, how do you actually define it?
Everything from making out to intercourse. So it's a wide range of things.
Okay. And so then you found that 85% of the young people that you surveyed, those 2,000 young people, prefer other options to that?
To casual sex. So to only about 4% said they were interested in hooking up. Some about 8 or 9% said they were interested in having casual sex with a friend. It's very consistent with other data, too. I mean, one of the things that's interesting about this is that there's been good data about the percent of people who are hooking up for a long time. And, it's much smaller than people think it is. People think it's 2 or 3 times bigger than it actually is. About 8% of 18 to 25-year-olds are dating casually. The rest are in serious relationships or not dating at all. So, we have big misconceptions about this.
So, obviously the first thought I have goes to blaming the media for some of those misconceptions, right? Because I feel like the way young people are portrayed in a lot of media is the casual hookup culture.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I think this is there are many factors here. One is the media and the hypersexualization of folks in the media. Another is, adults throughout history have always told stories about sex-crazed teenagers. That's not a new story. I think the hookup culture on college campus is very high profile, too. I mean, it's going on in at parties in very high profile ways. And it's a kind of, sort of a source of endless conversation. The college students we talked to were just as far off as the older adults about the size of the hookup culture.
Huh. So, before we get into some of the further details of your findings, I'm just curious. You did this study, you talked to 2,000 18 to 25-year-olds. What surprised you most about what they told you?
We surveyed about 3,000 in total.
Yeah.
And my research team talked to scores of young people, too. I think there are a few things that surprised me. On the survey, one of the things that I just am still trying to get my mind around is 40% of people don't think that women are sexualized on television.
They don't.
No. that just seems sort of shocking to me and so obvious that women are sexualized on television. Almost 70% think there's either agreed or were neutral about the statement that there's too much attention to sexual assault. So that was a really sobering and surprising finding. We also find, large majorities of adults who are not talking to kids about basic things around consent. Uh-huh. That it's not okay to have sex to pressure somebody to have sex after they've said no. It's not okay to have sex with somebody who's severely impaired with alcohol. So those were, surprising and somewhat surprising and concerning findings. The last thing I'll just say really quickly on the good news front is we also found lots of young people, about 70%, who want to have more conversation with their parents about romantic relationships.
Right. So let's dig into all of those just a little bit deeper here because about the first point that you made, that relates to the fact that you found a lot of misogyny in the survey results, right? 87% of women reported having experienced at least one in the fall during their lifetime, being catcalled, touched without permission, insulted with sexualized words, et cetera. And that made you conclude, or do you conclude from that young people are pretty desensitized to misogyny and harassment? Not the ones who are experiencing it, obviously.
I think there are a couple of different issues here. I do think there are a large number of young people who become desensitized when we talk to young people about this. First of all, in our interviews with young women, almost all of them say that they have been sexually harassed, and most of them have said that they've been sexually harassed recently. So, I think this is really pervasive in a lot of young women's lives. But they also, you know, what was discouraging is that we talked to a lot of young people and also a lot of educators, parents, who really didn't know what to do about it. And they said things like, it's just boys being boys, or if I intervene, it won't be effective, or I'll just be written off, or they're just being ironic. And, you know, so it was discouraging how passive people feel about it. Huh. And, you know, words like I hit that and people calling each other bitch and hoe are just really common. And people just don't feel, most people we talk to in survey just don't feel like they can intervene in those situations.
So there's something that seems to link many of your findings here together. There's at least one common theme, and that is sort of a lack of communication between the young people that you talk to and their elders, parents, or other folks who might be a source of education and guidance on these things, right? Because what, 76% of respondents said they'd never had a conversation with their parents about how to avoid sexually harassing others. And then on the flip side of that, what, 70% of the folks responded said, as you'd mentioned earlier, that they wish they'd received more information about their parents from their parents about some basic things like the emotional aspects of relationship and how to have more mature relationships.
Yeah. So I think those are, you know, two big takeaways from this report. One is that, 87% of young people are reporting being sexually harassed, but 76% have never had a conversation with their parents about how to avoid harassment. So that's a big disconnect. And, you know, as parents, I just feel like we have to have these conversations with our kids. I mean, it's just a super important thing to do. And a lot of them even don't even know really what harassment is. They think it's okay to catcall. That's the other thing that came up in our survey, or to touch somebody without permission. But again, on the good news front is this number of young people who want guidance around romantic relationships.
Right. But so, I mean, that just makes me wonder, like, in the sort of our culture's collective hyperventilating over young people, those young folks and hookup culture, it seems as if we're focusing on the wrong things, right?
You know, I think the real concerns about the hookup culture, there are harms that are going on in the hookup culture, like unprotected sex and higher rates of sexual assault. But I think that's right. I think the much bigger issue is these high rates of misogyny and sexual harassment, which are affecting very large numbers of kids, and our failure to prepare young people for love. I mean, a lot of young people in their, 20s especially, are trying to figure out, can I have a healthy, mature, caring, lasting love relationship with somebody else? And, Freud says there are two things that are most important in life. One is work and the other is love. We do a lot to prepare young people for work. We have schools and many other institutions to prepare them for work. We do virtually nothing to prepare them for love, which may be the most important thing they do in their lives.
Is this significantly different than previous generations? Because, I mean, I don't imagine that any other previous generation got a lot of practical education on, how to have healthy relationships.
I don't think it's different than other generations. It's not true in other times in our history. There are other cultures, Norway, Australia, the Netherlands, where relationship education, some of those countries, is compulsory in school. I mean, that they're much more focused on this than we are. And there are many cultures. There's some cultures where parents talk much more to their kids about these issues. But, one of the things that we're finding is, a lot of kids have grown up with parents who have divorced or who have been in miserable marriages or marriages with a lot of conflict. And, they're understandably anxious. Mm. And, they want to talk about what's the difference between being infatuated and being in love? Why can I be attracted to people who are bad for me? I mean, these are great questions. They're like wonderful questions to talk to young people about. So I think we have a really great opportunity here. And I think we would learn a lot by having these conversations, too.
Yeah. So how do you start those conversations? Right. Because I think that's sometimes the hardest part if the young person isn't coming to you with those questions.
Yeah. So it's a great question. So, I think one answer to that is it doesn't have to be a face to face sit down conversation.
You can do it over text.
Issues around love come up all the time, right? Like you're watching a TV show and you see some image of love that you just think makes you cringe and you just think is stupid. And, that's an opportunity to engage your child, your teen or your young adult in a conversation. Lyrics in music that you find really offensive. I think we have a responsibility, actually, in those situations to engage our kids and how they're interpreting, understanding those lyrics. So, you know, it's kind of all around us. And I think if we're just mindful of those opportunities, we can have a lot of these conversations.
Yeah. You know, I found some of the findings in your report quite inspiring and hopeful, right? Because I've come away with this feeling that young people are telling you that they want guidance and they want connection.
They want guidance. They want, you know, they want to talk to their peers. They want to talk to older siblings. They want to talk to parents, to educators. I think they want to talk to a lot of adults they respect. You know, this is an incredibly daunting, complicated thing, right? Like to make a decision about, you know, who you might want to marry or who you might want to be in a serious relationship with. And you know, I think this is something that it's, you know, you sort of would expect young people to want guidance on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Richard Weisbord is lead author of this new report called The Talk. He's a psychologist and lecturer at Harvard's Graduate School of Education. And we'll have a link to the report at our website, radioboston.org. Thank you so much for coming in
today.
Thank
you. It's been a pleasure.
Back in just about 90 seconds, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.